This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio. Good morning, I'm Mitch Tyke.
And I'm Audrey Nowakowski. As technology develops, the world of work is trying to keep up.
Here in Wisconsin, a state that was once a leader in manufacturing and factory jobs, we've experienced the rapid pace of economic change firsthand. Like many other job markets, Wisconsin now faces a skills gap.
An unlikely hero has been quietly working to fill that gap. Technical colleges.
These schools, traditionally known and created to train for careers in the blue-collar trades, have made moves over the past several years to expand their role and create programs for newer, middle-skilled positions.
Milwaukee Magazine contributor Eric Gunn took a deep dive into Wisconsin's technical college system for this month's issue. He wanted to know more about how tech schools are equipping students with the skills necessary for the state's shifting economy.
He spoke by phone from his home office in Racine with Lake Effect's Rachel Morello.
The title of the article you wrote this month is Another Way Up. In a fast-moving job market, tech schools are playing a new role helping to bridge the skills gap. Based on the conversations you had with people, give me a definition of the skills gap.
The skills gap is a term that refers to the mismatch between what employers are seeking in job applicants in a prepared workforce and what they see coming to them with respect to job applicants. It means many things to many different people, really beyond the scope of this story, exactly what it means and how significant it is remains a matter of some controversy.
Is the skills gap wider today? I mean, why do this story now? You kind of went into, in your article, the history of how long the tech school system has been around in Wisconsin. So why now is this a new role for tech schools to play to help bridge this gap?
In some ways, I think it is more of a rediscovery of the roles that tech schools can play. You had a period of time as technical education came into being in the bulk of the 20th century, where you had a fairly established kind of industrial infrastructure and sets of skills that were needed on the part of primarily what we might think of blue-collar workers. But what happened, I think, over time is that a lot of different forces, changes in technology, the emergence of much more sophisticated mechanical and electronic technologies, even in the factory setting, the emergence of whole new fields and skill sets that kind of arise from the technological revolution of the last 30 years, created a sense of where do we find people that can do this, but then again, a reawakening of the role that technical colleges can play.
Mm-hmm. This is a term that you introduce in your article, new collar jobs.
Exactly. So we're not talking about explicitly the old, you know, metal bending kind jobs or other factory jobs, the use of your hands, the use of assembly lines, but much more technology, both in those and then in whole new areas, you know, whether it's constructing apps for smartphones or, you know, coding for computer applications or learning now to operate what was old mechanical equipment through computer interfaces and just a whole bunch of other things that all sort of swirl around that. And so some people like to refer to as new collar jobs to really kind of distinguish them.
It sounds like tech schools are sort of juggling between those old school jobs and these new collar jobs. In your reporting, did you find that some of the people who run these institutions feel like they're straddling this really, really wide line in that way?
They are, but I think also even the way the old jobs are changing is sort of part of that straddling. Training people in new technologies that are directly supplanting the old technologies.
You have this line in your article that says, at a time when some graduates with bachelor's degrees work as baristas, the job placement rates at tech schools are impressive. Do you think that there's a resurgence of interest in these careers because there might be some burnout with the four-year college system or with the liberal arts schools that we have in our state and in our country? Did you get any sense for that in your reporting?
And there's some sense for that. I think we're really catching on the leading edge of a trend that right now is perhaps a little bit more easily defined by anecdote rather than by broad empirical data. There's been, over the last several years, a big debate, though, about whether our society over the last 20, 30 years has placed a little too much stress on the traditional four-year education versus getting more people equipped to do what can be very interesting, fun, and rewarding kinds of work that are more technical, even beyond technology, but in the sense that the work of a pastry chef, say, is a technical kinds of thing, as opposed to spending 4 years studying nutrition from more of a scientific basis. They think that you get people beginning to say, and students beginning to say, gee, do I really necessarily want to take on massive amounts of debt to become, say, an engineer? Or do I want to do something that's a little more closer to the ground, at least to start with, that can get me out and into the job market, and then maybe contemplate going back and getting that engineering degree later if that's what I really want?
I mentioned Foxconn earlier, and I want to return to that because I know that that's a story that a lot of people have been paying attention to. We're talking about jobs that are projected but don't yet exist here. And I wonder if you got any sense for how schools prepare for that. When something like a Foxconn is, you know, the wheels are turning now, we're hearing that we are going to need all these kinds of jobs, do you get a sense that this might mean more attention from state lawmakers or perhaps maybe even more money for systems like our technical college system?
Well, it'll be certainly interesting to see how that turns out. I think that the technical college system, for the kind of areas that they're responsible for, are going to make a very strong case as to the support that they may need in order to be able to move nimbly and institute specific kinds of courses that Foxconn and perhaps even ancillary businesses that spring up to serve them may need. You already see that happening even in places like Gateway Technical College, and they're not alone by any means, but that serves the Kenosha, Racine, Walworth County area. When various companies have come into Kenosha, in particular Amazon with their huge warehouse, those institutions, Gateway in particular, are out saying, okay, what do you need, Mr. New Coming In Employer? How can we help you? They're very eager to demonstrate value of what they have to offer, and that value going well beyond, well, we have these specific classes, but rather we have a mindset that says we are willing to look at what you need, try to put together a program, put faculty in place. Obviously, all of that, if that's going to continue, and if you get a huge surge in demand with a Foxconn, given the kinds of numbers that they are talking about hoping to hire, is going to kind of make a case for the technical college system and individual technical colleges to get more support for that. That is, I'm sure, a series of legislative negotiations yet to come, but I would certainly foresee that being a conversation that is ongoing already and will be expanding as this project unfolds.
You talk about what the schools can offer the businesses like Gateway Technical College and Amazon. In your article, you talk about Capco and Grafton and their partnership with MATC, their campus in Mequon. What about the other way around? What are those businesses offering to the schools? Or are they offering anything in terms of financial help or, you know, scholarship money? Is there anything going in the other direction in those cases?
Well, to some extent, when they get these programs out in their own context, they're making sure for the college that there is then a demand for their students, and that serves the college in its recruiting efforts. see, we can place people here, fees, tuitions, whatever, that, you know, it's not like the college is just placing people out there for free. Obviously, there's some money changing hands contracts and so on.
Is there anything that either you cut from your article or that made it in that really sticks out to you about the technical college system and kind of where they are in our state right now?
Well, it was really new information for me. Two things, and they're kind of interrelated. One is the much deeper relationships that the technical colleges are forging with high schools, to the point where they're putting some technical college level classes within high school curricula. And as a result, you may have students who are juniors and seniors in high school. They're taking a high school curriculum, but there's some of those courses may be actually introductory courses within the technical college curriculum that they may at least be interested in. It's a little bit like somebody prepping for a four-year college, taking an advanced placement, say, history class, passing the AP test, and then you enter your four-year college with that history requirement already on your transcript. That was quite honestly something that I was not aware of, how much that had been growing when I started working on this story. And I've covered, you know, labor workplace issues and even the technical college system for a number of years, but this was a piece of it that was really new to me. The other one that I had been sort of more casually aware of but learned a lot more about is the whole College Promise program, which is not a government program, although it was very much encouraged and given sort of a bully pulpit for it by the previous national administration, where the technical college systems are voluntarily creating programs in which they will try to ensure high school graduates who come in to be able to get much more of their education paid for. We've heard a lot in the last several years about policy debates about quote-unquote free college. This is a little bit of that being begun to be implemented in the real world, almost, I think, unnoticed.
Yeah, and you mentioned too in your article how these promise programs are a way for technical schools to equip a more diverse workforce.
For whom at least getting the foot in the door for that four-year degree seems a lot more challenging for any number of reasons, income, resources, and by being able to get that foot in the door through some of these promise programs, and not all of them have it, and, you know, MATC has had it the longest in our area. Gateway is starting one. The Waukesha hasn't gone there yet, but the college administrators I've talked to and outside observers who were cognizant of these kinds of programs look at this as a way of further ensuring greater diversity in the workforce because of their being able to reach people whose incomes would not have made even a public four-year college right out of high school seem within their grasp.
From everything that you learned writing this story about the technical college system, what lessons do you think our more traditional four-year colleges and universities in Wisconsin could learn from technical colleges and how they're going about their programming?
The biggest thing that I see happening in that area are, in a sense, some barriers even breaking down between those two spheres. You see four-year colleges increasingly understanding that some of the people that they're going to be getting will be wanting to come through from the technical college side for the reasons that we've just spoken about in terms of the accessibility, maybe in terms of the practicality. And so you see the technical colleges and the four-year colleges really expanding in these agreements that allow direct transfers from qualified technical college graduates into four-year programs. There was always probably some of that in certain fields, but I think it was much more of an ad hoc and an individual decision on the part of a student. But I think you see that as being possibly a much more viable and systematic kind of approach in this evolving environment.
Eric Gunn is a freelance reporter for Milwaukee Magazine. His look into Wisconsin's technical college system appears in the August issue, and he spoke with LakeFX's Rachel Morello.